Hello and welcome. You are listening to the Soul Leadership Podcast. I am your host, Crystal Hill, Soul Leadership Mentor, Embodiment Coach, and the founder of Hill House Publishing, where we give conscious leaders a platform to elevate their business to the next level, increase their impact and influence, to awaken and empower humanity into deeper levels of sovereignty and connection. You are in the right place if you are looking for inspiration and tangible tools on all things awakening, empowerment, and enlightenment to move out of the old ways of doing business and living into a new era where we lead from our soul's knowing, connect from our hearts, collaborate, and create communities that celebrate our unique essence. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Soul Leadership Podcast, where I'm continuing my conversations with the contributors of the recent book, Collaboration. And today I'm just so excited to speak with Catherine Tétrault-Ayotte, who helps women embody courage to become the powerful creator of their life. She is a transformational mentor for women who want to go deep within in order to be who they truly are. Starting with the roots, women remove layer by layer to uncover their essence, their vision, and their purpose. Master Manifestor and Certified Ritualist, Catherine has helped hundreds of women experience transformation, discover their divine essence and spiritual gifts, love themselves, and embrace deep spiritual connection. Catherine is the creator of Women Who Rise Up, a movement to inspire women to root down into their feminine essence, honor their needs, and embrace their fears to create what's calling them deeply. Your biography just is so in alignment with everything I stand for. I'm just so excited for you, for us to have this conversation. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Crystal. It's such a pleasure to be here and just keep on weaving. On weaving this great work that we're doing together.
Absolutely. I would love you to start sharing a little bit about your journey and how you ended up being so passionate and so committed to doing the work that you're doing now.
So my background is in the corporate realm. I worked for 15 years in HR, ended up in, you know, management roles and starting having babies and then tapping into really what was calling me was a quest for authenticity and, you know, a search for purpose. It felt like something deeper was calling me, but I just didn't know what it meant or how it would manifest until I actually had my first experience of collaborating with spirit, and I kept on manifesting, you know, the job. but then at some point I asked, you know, I didn't ask specifically what I wanted. I asked what I needed, and I said, I need space, you know, show me how I can have more space. And then this really just opened up everything for me because I actually lost my job. And I was, you know, transitioning from maternity leave. And that's really when things opened up for me because I decided to embrace it and really receive it as a gift. And I just knew I had manifested it because things happened, you know, so fast. And I talk about it in our book, Collaboration. And then that's when I started to do the soul work. I really just followed the clues, followed the sign, followed the allies and the mentors that were sent my way, and really just dove deep. Like my eyes were closed. I was just trusting without knowing what the hell I was going to do with all of this. But I knew I couldn't go back to what was previously there. Mm-hmm. And I knew that there were, you know, crossings to be made. So that's, yeah, that's when I started this dance with the deeper realms of what was really moving in me. And then I joined a leadership circle, and that's where I drafted my first vision of holding space for women. And basically what was calling me was to offer what was, you know, what I needed, you know, what I would have needed all those years. And so that's when, yeah, that's when the great work really started.
Yeah, I love that. We so often create what we needed and didn't have so that other women have it easier.
Yeah.
You mentioned something really important, I feel like. You said you manifested not what you wanted, but what you needed. Can you, I know what you mean by that, but I don't think everybody else may. So can you explain that a little bit more? Like, it's about specificity, isn't it?
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, what I've noticed is then, you know, when I micromanage the universe, like, it just really, you know, usually doesn't work my way. So sometimes, you know, I'll ask for something very specific, but then things show up differently than what you expect. And so that's why for me, when we go about trusting, you know, trusting this is what I need, and I trust that you'll send it to me as required, then it's just another layer or deeper space of trust, of, you know, of like, well, there's something bigger that's orchestrating this, you know, so I can just really trust.
Yes. Yeah, I love that expression, micromanaging the universe. So that brings me to a really interesting question around the pull of the ego that really wants to control everything and hold on to everything. And then that faith and that trust that we have in our spiritual guidance, and how, when we're being in this human body, how can we dance between the two? How can we bring them into harmony, into collaboration?
Yes. So I think for me, the pull of the ego comes from a deep insecurity of not trusting, you know, of having to control. You know, it's like when I know how it's going to be, you know, I kind of like control the outcome. So there's like, I need that to feel safe. And on the other end, there's like a deep acceptance of what is. It's equanimity to, you know, exponential equanimity. And so when, you know, we were conditioned, you know, in the, you know, if I can say the old paradigm, or, you know, the old way of doing things, we're conditioned that, you know, there's not going to be enough, or it keeps us in that place of insecurity. But when you start trusting at a deeper layer, at a deeper level, then really all those, you know, all those possibilities open up.
Absolutely.
So the ego is gonna try, you know, I come from the corporate, like I said. So in corporate, like, you gotta push, you know, to rise in the pyramid and the hierarchy, and, you know, you gotta, you know, manipulate, like, use politics, and maybe there's some judgments in what I'm saying, but you know, trying to be factual about it, like, you know, there's some pushing, you know, there's some, you know, working through the cracks and, you know, making your way up there. And so if you're conditioned to work this way, then it's kind of like what you do over and over again. So this can be the ego, this can be the ego manifestation, in comparison to just, you know, really trusting.
Yeah. And it's not just in corporate. Yeah. You know, I've not been in corporate. I've been in the theater world. So I've been in a very creative environment prior, But this ingrained competition comparison goes throughout all sectors of our society, I believe. So, and whilst in corporate, it is probably more pronounced in even in the spiritual communities, when we haven't fully tapped into the true essence of who we are and uncovered this trust, which is such a huge journey, isn't it? Then how can we collaborate? How can we step into a new paradigm? And this is really why I chose to bring this into a spotlight with this book collaboration, to really investigate what that means, to collaborate with our true ourselves first and foremost, then collaborate in community, in business, and of course with spirit. And I remember when we were talking which section you would fit into, it was like I could go into either with self and or with spirit, and then with self felt really safe and secure for you, and then collaboration with spirit, you were like, oh, this is where I'm going, but I'm still in that process of really trusting that, because there's just so many layers, isn't it? Like we feel we trust on some level, like you trusted when you called in more spaciousness, you trusted. And right now, I feel like I'd love you to share that journey. There's a whole new layer of trust that's recently been uncovered in the process of this journey from this book.
Yeah, absolutely. And it feels like it was yesterday, but just a few months ago, I remember saying it really feels like a stretch, collaboration with spirit, because I didn't know how. I didn't know where it was going. I didn't know what was I going to write about. And I felt like I was still learning. But actually, what I've learned in the transformation process is that when you say yes to what spirit sends you, it's a journey, it's a spiral of transformation on its own. So there is a crossing and then there's a blessing. So it's kind of like, well, you say yes, knowing that there will be a crossing, meaning that there's going to be a release of the old, you know, of like something that you attach, that you're holding on to. And then I knew I was getting in that. I knew I was getting in that spiral. And also just the timing of things. It had been, you know, a busy year for me. And I feel like, you know, when we're about to make those big leaps and those deeper layers of ourselves come, we experience the climax or the apex of like what's ready to be released. And so for me, it was kind of competing with myself, you know. It was like, well, yeah, it was like manifesting through pushing. Which was my old way of showing up. And it went to a point where it was just like, well, you know, this just doesn't work anymore. Like I can just feel it, you know. But so through the process of choosing to write the book and choosing to write on collaboration with spirit, I kind of hit that wall of being exhausted and then going on vacation and, you know, having to write the book in that spiral, and just really trusting that what to be, you know, what my message was would come through. And I did the work of sitting with what was there and kind of like uncovering the layers of what it really meant to collaborate with spirit. And it went so deep for me, because when I say yes with integrity. And so when it came to me, I kind of had to walk my talk. You know, I had to practice what I preached up to a point where I realized how much collaborating with spirit had been central in my life in the past years, and that it was just time to go deeper with it. And, you know, we went and took a major family decision, you know, based on the journey that I had writing this book. And so this is real stuff, you know. big leap into the unknown.
I so deeply resonate with what you're sharing. And you know what, I've always lived my life in these crucial moments when it was, okay, I can make a safe head decision, or I can make a really crazy out there heart-based decision that feels in alignment, and I have no idea how I'm going to manifest this or where the finances are coming from or any of that. I've always chosen the heart, always, and it's always worked out. And then the next time I come to one of those moments, it's like I have to take that courage to have to remind myself, you've got a track record. This always works out. This always works out, because when you say, as you said, right, when you say yes to spirit and you open yourself up to that collaboration and co-creation with the universe, it just happens.
Yeah, and you can't be disappointed, because it's kind of a discovery as well, because there's so much about it that you don't know, that you get, that gets shown to you, that gets revealed in the process.
Yeah.
It's as definitely... opposed to when you lead from your head and you have a specific expectation, like most of the time, you know, I get disappointed because it's not exactly how I pictured it.
Yeah. And whereas, I mean, when we let go and let hand over to the universe, we get surprised. It's not a disappointment. It's a surprise, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't mean that it's any less nail-biting at times, as we have to keep dancing with our ego.
And I always say, you know, my job is the what and the why, but it's not the how. And the how gets shown. And sometimes you got to be really patient. And, you know, it requires to really dig deeper into trust and to going back to the vision and kind of reconnecting from a place inside that knows, you know, I'm being guided. I'm on my path. You know, this is exactly where I'm supposed to be headed. And then to allow that to be the anchor and not allow the ego, that, because the ego, of course, is pulling in the other direction, and be like, go with what you know, go with the safe zone.
Yeah, exactly. And it's such a big leap of faith. So I'm wondering if in this uncovering and this transformation from moving what we can call, like, or what you call a civilized way of being to a raw state of being, like, what is one of the steps that you can share that makes that easier, or one tool, how to uncover those layers to tap into the wild woman, into our desires, into this why?
Yes. What comes is really to listen and to feel, you know, as simple as it sounds. I mean, for me on my journey, you know, I kind of was escaping the feelings. And so I would put filters between me and myself, you know, like intimately feeling the feelings, because I was afraid that it would hurt me. And so for me, what allowed that, a deeper space of, you know, really feeling and connecting inside to my body and to the sensations, whether it's emotions or physical sensations, was to remove the things that were distracting me. You know, so for a while I would work, you know, to a point where, you know, there was just no space for that. Or, you know, I would use substances to, you know, to not feel, or just, you know, there were many strategies that my ego could use. But at the end of the day, what really helped was to have guides, you know. So my first space was with one woman, and she was really my spiritual guide. You know, she was in French we say psychotherapy, body psychotherapy, something like that, you know, therapist. And so I just learned to breathe with her, you know, and to like breathe and feel the feelings and kind of get intimate with them and understand, you know, what was under it, what was the need. And it was that, you know, that posture of getting intimate with how I felt and knowing to put words on it is once you've acknowledged it, you can't deny it anymore because it's out there. You know, it's kind of like, well, the universe heard it or another human being heard it. So it's already in the process of being manifested. And, you know, at this point, you realize also the power of your word, because when you start co-creating with the universe, you realize how much you're a powerful creator. And so you kind of like refine the place you start from to share, because what comes out comes back.
Yes.
You know, that's the frequency, you know, kind of the animals who send a sound and then it comes back to them. Well, it's the same. It's the same for us. You know, but at the beginning it was just to like, there were so many layers of repressed emotions and feelings and desires, and there was just really a space of needing to be heard and to share and to feel the feelings, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Feeling the feelings.
Feel the feelings and find a safe space to do it. And so it started one-on-one, and then it moved on to circle work and really group work. And that's where, because when you start being seen by other humans, well, they reflect you back who you are, and then you start loving yourself. You know, it's like, for me, it's when I started to feel that I was enough.
It's really powerful, isn't it? It's coming back to collaboration when we are in circle, in community, and we get that reflection. We see the love in the person's eyes.
Totally, totally. And just that, yeah, that level of listening and presence, and it's just what I wanted this whole time, you know, like doing meetings and, you know, into an atmosphere that was not an atmosphere of collaboration, you know, really, you know, I would kind of like close up because I was afraid instead of opening up. So it really did the opposite. And so for me, it was kind of like the triangle when it would fall down and become a circle. And so that was, I mean, the circle was definitely a gateway into opening up to collaboration. I share about that in the book and my journey through circle work. It's been really powerful. Really another way of holding space, of sharing space, a space where there's no hierarchy, and also connecting to, you know, to really an ancient archetype of the circle, which is, you know, reflected into the earth, the moon, the stars, the circle of life. I mean, I can go on this theme of the circle if you want me to keep going.
No, I'm curious now to talk a little bit about your own work and how you're working with women in Women Who Rise Up. And also, you know, you're saying you're a certified ritualist. So the theme of bringing ritual back into our lives is such an important thing. And I'm wondering if you can speak into that a little bit.
Yeah. Thanks for opening up. So this was my initiation into the soul work, was through a ritual school. It's really a mix between, you know, the ancient traditions of, you know, really global cultures, but also, you know, kind of a modern twist. It's kind of a mix of both, but really the base of rites of passage, which basically means, you know, relearning to live together, to actually reunite and take the time to go into a place that is a different, it's kind of a different zone where time is not the linear time that we know, where we open up a connection with the invisible, and we share our intention. So there's a clear intention, there's a specific container, there's a specific place, there's a safe place, and there's a specific gesture, and those three ingredients combine, and, you know, the opening to the invisible, and you say, well, show us the way. It's kind of like, this is our intention. Where are you going to bring us? And then this is where the magic happens. So you can never repeat a ritual twice, because it's always going to be different because of who's there, what's the intention. And so sometimes people, you know, can confuse like a morning ritual. Here, this is not what we're talking about. You know, we're talking about, let's say, you know, a woman becomes a mother. And, you know, she has a specific need, because she has a story around being a mom. And so we're, her community will gather and will create a safe space for her to transmute and to process what needs to be processed. And so that she can move on to that next phase of life. And really, it's really a passage. And so it's such a powerful tool to hold spaces of transformation. And you know, when there's, you know, you can tell when the ritual worked, like when there was healing, when there was a transformation, because at the end, like the energy shifts, there is a mood of celebration that comes in. And it's a fascinating world. And thanks to Au Rite de Passage and the teachers there, I've learned so much. So I use a lot the way of holding space. I use that a lot in my groups. So I have a group called Bold and Embodied Mentorship Program. So this is my 6-month program where we really open up portals of transformation for women who choose to leap in. And so we do intensive days where we use rituals. And so the ritual is actually a theater for the subconscious. And so you actually use the power of your intention and the power of coming together and creating a sacred space into, you know, sending this message to your own being, including the subconscious, that there's a change happening. And so we're stopping time. We're stopping time so that all your body can process it and everything aligns. You know, sometimes our soul is faster or our body is, you know, it's kind of like where they get to sink back in and feeling supported by your community, and also receiving the connection of spirit, calling the guides, calling the support, and having more clarity into, okay, this is what I'm processing, and big aha moments come.
Yeah, it sounds incredibly rich and deep work and expansive work.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So I work a lot with that, with the tools of ritual and the tool of circle work. So really the art of sharing and holding space and creating safe space to share. So I work a lot with the leadership. Like leadership of the self, which means like actually aligning your deep intentions into clear commitments and creation. So it's really bringing what's inside outside and starting to create your life. There's kind of like a mastery of the self where you become the leader of your ship, leadership. And so, you know, really a commitment that comes from a place of self-love, not from a place of, you know, pushing ourselves. So it's, you know, learning that safe spot, that safe kind of like boundary with the self. And and I work also with vision work. So, I mean, some people have qualified them like shamanic journeys, or where we really bridge into other dimensions of ourselves and our creations, and we receive clues from spirit and we weave on that. And then the vision statement gets more refined and more clear, and we can build outward on this. And it's also a work of becoming, you know, the more you share it, you say it, you draw it, you dance it, you know, it becomes mm-hmm. real. You know, there's kind of like something that's, you know, the resonance like that we shared before is there.
Yeah, exactly. amplifying the resonance and calling it in from the universe, because it is already in the infinite field, isn't it? And if we can embody that feeling, it can manifest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot of embodiment for sure. And I work a lot with the earth medicine. Mm-hmm. So really, you know, the earth spiritualities, teaching, you know, way of giving thanks, of, you know, the medicine wheel. And, you know, just it's, this is such a deep road of humility and learning as you walk your path. So I mean I'm still a teenager or even a baby on this path, but I'm just, you know, really honored and humbled to walk my path on the red road path, and just keep on learning about you know, the seasons, the cycles, the oneness. Yeah.
Beautiful. So if people want to resonating with this and would like to work with you, I know you work both in person but also online. Can you share a little bit more where you're working and how people can find you? I mean, we're putting all of your links in the show notes anyway, but just so people get an idea of where in the world you are.
Yeah, so I'm located in Montreal, Canada for the moment. And I'm in the process of moving to Costa Rica, and I will do very, very deep, yeah, very deep work over there on the sacred land that we're acquiring with the community of conscious co-creators. And so there will be definitely some activation work and portal work and embodiment work and transformation work. So there will be some retreats there. Otherwise, you know, my core offer is really the 6-month program, is really where you'll get the most of this work.
Otherwise,
yeah, it's online. Yeah. And it includes in person also for those who make the journey. And you know, sometimes I have other offers to work one-on-one with me. Or even just do it yourself and go through the activations or the journeys that are available online. Mm-hmm. You know, I have the 7-day priestess path initiation, just very intimate. It's kind of like, you know, learning and being initiated into the medicine and the tool that I offer, but at your own rhythm and at home.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. So thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and a little bit of your journey. And I really invite anybody listening to get our book collaboration and read Catherine's story in full and all the other contributors who are amazing visionaries in their own right and sharing their message, their embodiment of having really stepped out of collaboration into contribution to society, into community, and into collaboration. So we'll put that link in the show notes as well. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Catherine, for being here. See you next time. Bye.
If you want to become a best-selling author for the very first time or invest in giving your visibility a boost, then let's connect. And if you've enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe to wherever you listen to this podcast. Leave a review and take a screenshot to share on your social media. Show notes for this podcast, including all the links and gifts mentioned in today's episode, are available at crystalhill.com/podcast. I'll see you next time.